Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on this Wednesday, the 12th of July. Let's get right into it because we have such a full hour today. By the end of the year, there will be at least one new face on the Tucson City Council. That will be in Ward 3, the Ward 3 Councilwoman Karen Ulick, a Democrat. First elected in 2004, Karen is retiring after three 4-year terms. So three Democrats are facing off in a primary that is really quickly approaching. I'm just going to guess that early voting begins probably in a couple of weeks, like early August, something like that. We have all three of the candidates with me in studio. Felicia Chu is with us, a teacher at Mansfield Middle School. Felicia, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. Attorney Paul Durham is here. Paul is a former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Paul, how are you?
Hello, Bill. Thank you for doing this.
Well, it's my pleasure. Try to give folks at least a little bit of an introduction to who the candidates are. And then Tom Tronstall is owner of Canyon Fence Company. Tom, how are you?
I'm terrific today, Bill.
So thank you for all for coming. The winner of the Democratic primary faces independent Gary Watson. He is a Northwest Fire District firefighter. All right, let's begin, and I'm going to try to give everyone somewhat of a semblance of equal time. This is not a formal debate. It's just a candidate discussion. So please keep your responses to about a minute, minute and a half. Ray's got a little clock up there for me to kind of judge where we are in all of this. So the obvious first question for each of you, and we'll do this in alphabetical order. Felicia, why are you running? And if you would, tell us kind of what's your top issue.
Sure. I'm running for city council so that I can be a voice for the underrepresented, the underserved population that is in Tucson. My top three issues are working with working families and stronger public services, including transit, and helping Tucson become more economically and environmentally sustainable.
Gee, you only took 30 seconds. Would you like to say anything more of those three topics?
Sure.
If you had to prioritize, what's the number one topic?
Well, I think when we look at core services, we've got parks and rec, which is up there along with public services and the transit area. So talking about helping out working families with stronger neighborhoods, having those parks available for families to come out to go walking around will really, I think, reduce crime and will just help increase relationships that families and neighbors have with one another.
All right, let's bring in Paul Durham. Paul, what's at the top of your list, and why did you decide to get involved in this? Obviously, you've had a background in politics.
Thank you, Bill, once again for organizing this forum. I'm running for city council because we need a strong Democrat to stand up for the people and groups that Donald Trump attacks. If you're anything other than rich and white, you're probably under attack from Donald Trump. One important area that is under attack is women's rights. Planned Parenthood defends those rights and provides life-saving services to women and men at its clinics. And I'm thrilled to have received the endorsement of Planned Parenthood of Arizona. Three of the things that are most important to improving lives in Ward 3 are solar energy and sustainability, neighborhoods, and jobs. I look forward to expanding on each of those subjects here today. I worked my way through college as a UFCW clerk in a grocery store. I've worked hard in my life, and I want to see the people of Ward 3 have the same chance.
All right. Tom Tronstall, you are up to the plate. What about you? Why did you – this is your first effort in politics, correct, Tom?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead. Why did you decide to get in, and what's at the top of the agenda?
Well, Ward 3 has always been my home. I went to school here. I started my career here. And now I'm raising my family here. And it's finally the time, I believe, for us to make a difference. I love where I live. And I love the fact that it's a great place to be. But we need to keep working on it and keep making it a wonderful place for everybody. And that's why, while running, I'm going to focus on economic development, neighborhood improvements, and public safety. I think those three issues strike at the heart of the everyday living for everybody in our community. Ward 3 is an amazing place, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of Tucson as the owner of Canyon Fence Company. I understand the needs of the small business and my employees and what struggles they go through every day. I see that so many people are being unheard these days, and we need to work to reach out to everybody so everyone has a voice at the table, not just the squeaky wheel always getting the grease. And that's going to be very important for the next city council term.
All right, Tom, I'm going to keep it with you. Then we'll go to Paul, then Felicia. There's a method to my madness here. We did alphabetical to begin with. Now we'll go reverse alphabetical. And so my question to you, Tom, in public safety, are we underserved right now with the number of cops on the street? Do we need more cops for a city this size?
Absolutely. I have to say that our police department and fire department are doing an amazing job with the resources they do have. And I think it's great to see the respect the community has shown the needs that the respect for the police department with the overwhelming passage of the city initiative last May. It shows that the people understand the police are working hard and the fire department is working hard, but they need more help. I think it's a combination of resources and feet on the ground. The police department is going through a huge transition where they're losing a lot of their most experienced and developed talent. And replacing them with rookies or newer people just isn't the same. And so it's really important that we set up our police department for success. You know, the same 700 officers we have now are not quite the same experience level as the same 700 we had 10 years ago. And I know that concerns TPD.
All right. Paul Durham, is that a concern for you, public safety, right now? Or do you think maybe we're okay with the staffing levels that we have?
TPD is an excellent police department. I very much admire the job they're doing. I'm glad and grateful that Prop 101 passed in May. I supported that from the very beginning, and finally we're going to provide police and fire with the equipment they need to do their job. We have two problems that I would like to see addressed at our police department. First, not enough officers. No question. Comparing us to other cities of comparable size nationwide, we're low. We do a lot with very few people. Second, we often lose officers to other cities, especially in Arizona, that pay more. Attrition is not a good management. Is not good management in any department, and it's even more important in public safety.
Felicia, I'd like Felicia Chu weigh in on your feelings on: are we okay with police and fire, or do you think that needs to be one of the areas of focus for you if you were to be elected?
So, Bill, I know that there are a lot of neighbors who feel like there's not enough or quick enough police response that's going on. But I also know, too, that not a lot of people will take the time to call TPD when something's going on. So I try to provide people with non-emergency numbers also and how they can reach Tucson Police Department through online reporting. And people seem to understand, okay, I can do that. It's not as threatening because I do hear conversations about people saying they come out and sometimes they're not responsive quickly enough. And so something I know from being on CPARB is that if we
CPARB, acronym?
Right, Citizen Police Advisory Review Board.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, thank you for the clarification. But what I know is that if we have enough of a trail that's going on, what the squads do is they look at it and they say, hey, when you're doing your reports, instead of just sitting over here, you know, in the office, why don't you go and park on this corner here? And I know the police have been very responsive when they know about the situations. We have fantastic community service officers, and we have neighborhood watch programs that try to get going. I would love to see the Citizens Police Academy get going again so citizens know how they can help out better.
All right, that's Felicia Chu, and I will keep it with Felicia for this next question, and then we will everybody can weigh in on that before we take the break. So, Felicia, on economic development, this is other than public safety, I think people that live in the city of Tucson, first of all, they want to make sure when they call a police officer, the officer is going to come in a timely manner. If they need a firefighter, they want the fire department there.
Yes.
But they also want a community that is one that's going to provide jobs.
Yes.
So economic development is huge. I want to hear some of your thoughts about that, please.
Sure. So definitely for us to be able to support our local economy. And actually this morning there was, I don't know if you heard it, Bill, but on NPR, they were talking about how one out of, I think the number was three, one-third of rural areas don't have internet speeds that are at least 25 megs. And it's funny because thinking about my internet speed, I'm at one, like literally one, just the number one. And so in my family home, in my neighborhood, we're at a disadvantage. And so how does this tie to economic development? Well, we can employ people to start building on that infrastructure, and that will have the effect of killing two birds with one stone. We'll be employing people, and we'll be giving more advantages to those who are currently disadvantaged.
Paul Durham, what is the number one thing that needs to be done to bring more jobs to this community?
Jobs, Bill, are key to solving the issues confronting Ward 3 and the entire city. I think we all agree on that. A sustainable job base requires at least four things: an educated, well-trained workforce, quality of life, and the ability to attract new employers to Tucson, and a strong partnership with the businesses that are already here. I have a law degree, an MBA, and spent over two decades advising businesses and helping them grow. I want to put that knowledge to work to attract new employers to Tucson, and to strengthen our partnership with businesses already here to help them grow and add jobs.
Tom Tronstell, what about economic development? How has it been for you as a small business owner, and what can be done to make this a better community?
To be honest, Bill, it's been a struggle the last 10 years. Our community has not rebounded like the rest of the country has. We've been some nice successes, but we have not seen the consistent growth that the rest of even Phoenix and Las Vegas have seen. So that tells me that we need to focus on a couple different things. Not only do we need to encourage new business to come here, and that's important, but Ward 3, it's essential that we work with the existing businesses that have been supporting the community already. And unlike a lot of other areas, we don't have a lot of free places to build something new. So that means infill. That means repurposing existing buildings and encouraging existing businesses to also grow within their current structure without having to move to Marana. You see that this week, over on Grant Road, where Grant Road Lumber unfortunately went out of business after 66 years. But, Tucson and Sam Fox came in and is redoing that area while maintaining some of the culture and the history there.
Repurposing.
Yeah, it became a restaurant instead of Grant Road Lumber, but it's using the existing space to improve the community. Not only do we need to bring jobs, part of the issue, too, is we have to make sure our community provides the employees for these jobs. And that means we have to consistently develop a skilled workforce. And this just doesn't mean computer or science engineers. This means taking our existing people and helping them increase their skills in their vocations to go from a $12 an hour job to a $17 an hour job.
All right, Tom Tronstell was just speaking, and of course got Felicia Chu is with us and Paul Durham. That's going to conclude our first segment with the three candidates. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with the three Democrats who are facing off in the primary. And when does early voting begin? Do any of you know exactly?
Ballots are mailed on August 9th.
August 9th, so we're getting close. We will be back with the three candidates. And first, though, we'll hear from the people who make this program possible. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday on The Buckmaster Show, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Also, we'll talk with congressional hopeful in CD number 2, Dr. Matt Hines. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. On the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. Green Things for all things green. We've been a huge supporter of Green Things at the Buckmaster household for many years. They're located at 3384 East River Road, over by the Rito River Walk. And of course, they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. If you need to know about drip irrigation, they have a free workshop from 1 to 3 on Friday afternoon. That is very good information for all of our gardening friends. Again, greenthingsaz.com. We have the three Democrats who are involved in the run for the seat that will soon be vacant when Karen Ulick retires after, 12 years. On the Tucson City Council in Ward Number 3. So let me introduce, if you are just joining us, which many people do with radio. I like to say that the noon hour is kind of like a mini drive time. People are coming and going. They're going to events. But with me in studio, Felicia Chu. Felicia is a teacher at Mansfield Middle School. Tom Tronsdale is here. Tom is the owner of Canyon Fence Company. And Paul Durham, who is the former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Paul, let's begin with you on this round of questioning about social services. We've talked in the first segment about economic development. We've talked about public safety. And I think a pillar of our community, if it's a three-legged stool, would be the social services area. What can you bring to the table there, Paul Durham?
Bill, whenever Tucson has a problem or a challenge, it is often larger, even larger in Ward 3. Ward 3 has housing that does not meet reasonable standards of security, comfort, or energy efficiency. We have crime, drugs, domestic abuse, poverty, unemployment, and homelessness. A few weeks ago, as I rolled up to the very first door on my list for that day, I found three police cars hauling the residents away in handcuffs. And what does that mean for this election, though? It means that our Ward 3 council member must understand these challenges and have ideas to address them, and I do. If elected, I'll work with members of the community, business leaders, community activists, social service organizations, and law enforcement, and I'll also work to bring jobs and opportunity to Ward 3.
Tom Tronsdale, what do you think about social service? Too much? Are we lacking in that area?
Actually, no. I think one of the strengths of Tucson are the existing partnerships the city and the community has with different social service groups. Where I've spent the last 15 years is working with these different groups. Just in Ward 3, I've been on the board of the Prince Road Salvation Army, Catholic Community Services, Tucson Community School, the Abbey School, the School for Kids with Autism. So I've spent my time working with the people who are the boots on the ground, the ones providing services that kind of fall through the cracks. And I think it's essential for the city to partner and continue partnering with people like the Prince Road Salvation Army, who provide after-school care and summer programs for a very needy neighborhood, a neighborhood that around Prince and Stone that requires some more services than some other areas. The success of Tucson is going to be dependent upon the city partnering with all the local people, whether it's Literacy Connects, Job Path. There are many groups that will help us reach our goals of better economic development, stronger neighborhoods, and better education, because they are already out there doing it.
All right, Felicia, what are some of your thoughts about the services sector, the social services sector of the city?
So I think we have some good social services in place already. I've personally used some of them. I've used Primavera. They ended up helping me with getting financing so I could buy my first home here in Tucson. And I've tried to share those resources with other folks, too. I actually just went to the Children's Clinics, which is over by the Grant by TMC. Mm-hmm. And what I learned over there is there's, again, fantastic resources there. Their motto used to be that they were the best kept secret in Tucson. And so something that I realize is there are plenty of social services that are out there, but it's hard to make the connection between the people and the services. Because I have used the services, because I understand the challenges, because a lot of my friends are in the same boat as I am, I'm able to help them explore what options they have. And I'm also then more in tune, I think, with what the Ward 3 population needs as services so that I can advocate better. And that comes to the city council when we're allocating our budget, or when that comes to us providing policies and ordinances that support people, looking at how we maybe change some of the things in regards to crime with TPD and how officers can respond to the crimes that they're facing.
All right. We'll keep it with Felicia. And Ray, I think on the clock now, we'll move it to just 1 minute as we get closer here to the conclusion, because I want to cover some more ground, and I don't think I can allow a minute and a half. So we'll cut it down now to about 60 seconds. Felicia, what about the half-cent sales tax that would go into effect if Strong Start were to be approved for early childhood education in this city? Are you on board with that? And then there could also be a measure 1/10 of 1 cent for improving the facilities at the Reed Park Zoo. I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Strong Start Tucson, definitely. We would be investing in our kids in the future. All of the kids need, and the families need, the ability to choose if they want to have their students in a high-quality preschool. Regarding the half-cent sales tax,
half-cent for a Strong Start.
Right.
You just indicated you're on board with that.
That's right.
Then it'd be about one-tenth of a cent for the zoo, if that also makes the ballot. How would you feel about that?
I would be delighted. So we are members of the zoo, and I know that the zoo also provides educational opportunities. They come to the library. They do things free of charge. And it's not just imprisoning the animals, but it's actually teaching people how to care about these animals and how to respect life.
So you're on board with both of those.
Correct,
Paul Durham, how about you?
Early childhood education is tremendously important. Study after study shows that it is among the top two factors contributing to the success that that child encounters in life. I am concerned that the proposal creates a committee, which it's the committee's job to define what a high school quality preschool is. There are no standards in the proposition as written. So therefore, the success will depend on a well-functioning commission. That's a concern. I'm still talking to voters. I've identified my concerns, but I very strongly support the idea, the effectuation of early childhood
education. So you're still on the fence a little bit on whether you're supporting it. But about the zoo, Paul Durham?
We need to address our parks. I question whether we should address one park at a time, but I strongly support our parks.
Okay, Tom Tronsdale, a strong start?
There's absolutely no doubt that we need to increase access to early childhood education. None. We have to find ways to reduce those barriers for families. My wife and I struggled to find childcare and early education for us due to our working schedules. In fact, we had to work opposite schedules in order to always maintain care for our kids because we couldn't afford it otherwise. Strong Start is a wonderful idea for a very needy area, but it's not the right solution as written. I'm uncomfortable with this charter being changed. You know, it limits future action. I would love to see maybe a pilot program be put in place, and then a renewable program after that.
So you're a no on this.
I'm a no for right now.
The zoo? Yeah.
The zoo. I love the zoo. We're family members, but a separate sales tax for the zoo right now, I don't think is the right policy for Tucson. I think they, as a former member of the Parks and Rec Commission, I know there's ways to explore benefits with community government, with businesses and federal programs to fund it.
Okay, we'll keep the microphone with Tom Tronsdale because we're going to wrap it up with 1 minute each for the candidates to conclude their little discussion here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, what separates you from your opponents, and why should folks vote for you? Kind of the bottom line here.
Thanks, Bill. To be honest, Ward 3 is my home, and it's rarely a street, a neighborhood, a school, whatever, that I am not familiar with in our neighborhood. I've been a part of it, whether nonprofits, whether riding my bikes. Ward 3, I know like the back of my hand. You add that plus my legal experience, plus the fact that I sign the front of a paycheck. I support 28 people every week with a fair and living wage, health benefits, and paid time off, and I'm proud of that. I think my perspective as a local who's grown up here, as well as my ability to work within the economic community, in my really broad range of relationships I have, I'll bring a different perspective that the city council has been missing for many years.
And your website?
My website is tomfortucson.com. And also check out our Facebook page.
All right. That's Tom Tronsdale. And now, Paul Durham, about a minute, Paul, to wrap up your comments with us.
I believe, Bill, that everyone in Ward 3 should have the opportunity to succeed and have a healthy life. When I was growing up, there wasn't much money around. I was about 8 years old when my mother announced one day that she wasn't going to shop at Goodwill anymore because it had just gotten too expensive. I will be a full-time council member. I have the knowledge, skills, experience, energy, and commitment to really get things done on the council. I have a website, Paul for Progress. There's more information there. And please contact me through the website if you have a comment or question.
All right. That was Paul Durham. Now, Felicia Chu.
So, first, thanks everybody for listening to the show, and thanks Bill for having us.
Welcome.
Yeah, woohoo! So, as a mother, I understand, you know, the needs for public services, transit, public safety. As a teacher, I have always taught my students how to advocate for themselves, and so I would teach our and facilitate our community being able to communicate with our local government. And then as councilwoman, I'm just going to work on strengthening these systems. Something I haven't really said before is I'm actually a survivor of domestic violence, and I really had to speak up against bullying. I've taught my sons how to speak up against bullying. And when we look at it right now, we are getting bullied by the state, by the federal governments, and we need to be able to stand up against those. That's what I would bring to the table.
And your website is?
My website is FeliciaChu.com and ChuForTucson.com.
That was Felicia Chu. We heard from Tom Tronsdell and Paul Durham. Thank you all for coming in. Best of luck to each of you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right, the Buckmaster Show continues. We'll be talking with Professor McElroy about his new book, Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker Murders. So going to change directions here from politics to literature. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes such a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's about 3 hours from Tucson. Here's the good news. 15 degrees cooler in that area. It's a lovely area to hike, camp, explore historic Silver City, or just kind of relax in a beautiful environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. John McElroy, University of Arizona Professor Emeritus of American Literature. Dr. McElroy, good to see you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks for having us on.
Dr. McElroy is the author of 4 books on American cultural history. He also hosts America's Fabric each Sunday morning at 8 o'clock here on KVOI. Professor McElroy, his most recent work, which I might add is getting really wonderful reviews, some 5-star reviews actually, is titled Benjamin Franklin, The Quaker Murders, which delves into the life of Benjamin Franklin and as he becomes involved in a brutal murder mystery and tries to spare the accused from an unwarranted hanging. The book is published by Penmore Press and Tucson, Arizona-based company dedicated to publishing fiction and nonfiction by emerging and established writers. Michael James is also with me in studio. Michael is the senior editor of Penmore Press. Michael, how are you today, sir?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Professor. The book's doing very well, isn't it?
We're pretty pleased, yeah. I've had a good publicist helping me, my daughter Lori, to whom the book is dedicated because she thinks so highly of it.
She is terrific, by the way.
Yeah,
she's
right on
all
top
over
things.
The place promoting you and the book.
Yep.
And heck, that really helps.
It
Let's face it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
James, could you tell us, James, a little bit about Penmore Press? How did it come about?
I am an author myself, but after retirement, I found that I was interested in publishing other people's books as well. So I set up shop, and very quickly we have built up a little library of writers who cover primarily historical fiction, but we also deal with murder, some modern, some ancient, and the historical side of this, which John has brought to the party, is very exciting, actually. We're very pleased to have him on board. And we'll all be doing our best to make sure that the book is seen and heard wherever.
Professor, you have studied the life of Benjamin Franklin. You taught about it for years,
yep.
Taught about him and his life and his contribution to this country. And I wonder, what was the genesis, Professor, for this book? Was there some particular incident in Franklin's history that might have triggered this?
Well, in point of fact, it was something else that led me to. I had been thinking about writing something about his life that was not academic, that was more of a narrative, and I hadn't settled on anything. But I heard about a medical fact that struck my imagination very strongly. That. A guy who was being tried for murder, and it was because of a medical anomaly that was not part of the history at that time when he was accused of this crime. So I got thinking about that and developed the plot for this book from that. But everything in Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker Murders. Practically, there's very, very little that is purely fictional regarding him and his life. He had an astonishing life. And,
at what age did he die?
He was born in 1706, and he died in 1790, so he was 84.
But what he accomplished in those 84
years.
4 years is just astounding.
It is. It's astounding for the variety of accomplishments. His genius was just truly multifaceted. It's what we refer to when we say he is. This guy was a Renaissance genius. There was nothing that caught his attention, that he became interested in, that he did not excel in. He was the first guy to study the Gulf Stream, for instance. He made eight trips across the Atlantic, and he didn't waste his time. He observed the current as he passed by, kept notes, and did soundings and various things, temperatures and things like that.
So the book itself is considered, of course, nonfiction, but there's very much believable. It is a very believable book from an historical point of view.
Yeah, I hope. Yes, that's true. And a lot of the reviewers, I've been getting 87% five star.
Yeah,
and
the 13, that's five stars.
The 13% that didn't give me a five star gave me four stars. So,
good.
So I've been very happy. Yeah. But it's entertaining and enjoyable reading, but it does convey the times. And a lot of the reviewers that have posted, on Amazon comments on the book remark on how much of a sense of Philadelphia in 1785, which was 2 years right after the Revolution, this book gives them.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. There'll be more, though, with Professor John McElroy and talking about his book, Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker Murders. And we're also going to talk some more about the publishing industry with the editor of the Tucson, Arizona-based Penmore Press. That's Michael James. Michael is also with us in studio. So there's more to come on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Professor John McElroy is with us. Professor McElroy, Professor Emeritus of American Literature, an expert on Benjamin Franklin. He's the author of four books on American cultural history, and he has now delved into the fiction world with a book called Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker Murders. Vast majority of the reviews, over 80% coming in at 5-star. The book is off to a great start. It's published by Penmore Press, which is based here in Tucson, and Michael James is also with me in studio. Michael is the senior editor of Penmore Press, and Michael, we were talking during the break that you love historical fiction. You spent nearly 20 years in the British Army. You traveled all over the world. You came to Tucson less than 20 years ago. The historical fiction and what Dr. McElroy is doing really rings true to you, I assume.
It does. I think historical fiction is challenging because the truest would keep the history as it should be and weave the story into the fabric of history itself. And that is the best of historical fiction. It teaches as well as entertains. I think it also, the authors that do historical fiction learn a great deal about their particular time. And it's quite challenging.
What about your own?
And a lot of fun to write.
And a lot of fun. Yes, I should stress that.
Yeah. Your own portfolio and your own works have delved into what areas, Michael?
The long short story is it's medieval historical fiction on the Middle East. Hmm. So we're talking about
an area where you spent time.
Yes.
You were one of the last out after the fall of the Shah as part of the British military contingent in Tehran, correct?
Yeah, there weren't any airplanes, so I had to walk out.
Oh, my goodness.
The planes had gone. So we had to go up north and get across the border south of Tabriz. So that was pretty hairy.
So that is kind of your area of interest has been the Middle East.
Well, when I was in Iran, I heard about the assassins' castles up in the mountains of the Alborz. So I made a point of visiting all of them, as many as I could anyway. And the more I dug, the more interesting it became. So eventually, I'm sort of prattling on about these castles, and my wife says, why on earth don't you write a book about it? So that's what I did. That was the first book called The Assassins of Alamut.
By the way, where can folks find out more about Penmore Press and the entire portfolio of what is available?
www.penmorepress.com
I think it's terrific that we have a literary press, Dr. McElroy, here in Tucson.
I agree.
And I'll talk with Michael a bit more about what it is like to be a literary publisher in this day and age of the internet. But I want to get back to Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker murders. Let's focus a little bit on Benjamin Franklin and the Quakers. What was the relationship there?
Well, it was complicated a bit, but basically it was very positive. His earliest experiences in Philadelphia, he was born and brought up in Boston and ran away from an abusive master printer who happened to be his brother, James Franklin.
Not this one.
No, not this one. That may be why I named his sidekick in these Quaker murder investigations, because he's too old to do the legwork. James Jameson is his helper. But his first first experience in Philadelphia was he was walking down the street. He had just landed. They rode all night down the canal that crosses New Jersey into the Delaware, landed in early morning in this bustling capital of colonial America, Philadelphia. And he was tired, very tired, all night rowing with these other people. And he saw people going into this building, and he followed them. And everyone inside was quiet. Nobody was talking. And he fell asleep. And it was a Quaker meeting, a Quaker church. So the first building, he tells about this in his autobiography, the first building he slept in Philadelphia was a Quaker church. But one of the earliest people that befriended him was a Quaker merchant when he was a young man. He was 17 when he ran away and landed in Philadelphia. So his he had some political differences with the Quakers because of their pacifism and not wanting to engage in wars. But it was very positive. But the Quakers themselves really lost standing. They were the economic and political force in the whole colony of Pennsylvania until they opposed the American Revolution.
But they were very strong at one point. And that has been lost, I think, in American history early.
Yeah, it is, and it shouldn't be. No. They were a very peculiar people, but one of the things I admire personally about them is they were the first organized resistance to slavery.
Wow!
They wrote against it. They gave up their own slaves.
That was early on too.
That was very early on.
All right, let's get back to Michael James, senior editor of Penmore Press, and so much I can recall 20 years ago, people when the internet first came along, that folks were writing the obituary of the printed word. Right. I'm serious, and you remember all of that, that Michael and. And I think there's a resurgence, and people want a book in front of them and not just looking at a device.
I would agree with that. I'm not sure how the data will pan out because people find it convenient to have 1,000 books on one iPad.
Right.
But by the same token, people of my generation in particular prefer the paperback to have something to hold in the hand. And I think there's still a lot of people around to do that. Unfortunately, I think the figures are tending to point towards the e-book, the e-book rather, and there's no quarrel with that as long as people are reading. I think in private, I sometimes lament the fact that not enough people are reading actually what publishers are putting out.
Yeah.
But there's no dearth of authors. There's a lot of books out there.
Mm. This book, by the way, Bill, is available in
both forms.
Yes, we publish both forms.
So you have both available,
correct.
Which is really the way to go because some would prefer the electronic version. This book, Dr. McElroy, took you, was this one that had been planning that you'd always wanted to do or was it a rather late in its creation?
Well, I'd say the latter probably describes it better, late in its creation. But I have wanted to be an author of fiction since I was a boy in college. And here
you
I am.
You met Ernest Hemingway.
Here I am at age 83, and I finally made it. Well, and there's a sequel to this one already written called Benjamin Franklin and the Innocent Duelist. It's about a very mysterious thing that happens during a duel.
Your buddy Ernest Hemingway would be very proud of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid in college, I had the opportunity to spend a whole afternoon at his finca outside Havana because my wife is Cuban and her father had a connection with him. And
so that was like the 50s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was 1956.
Papa would be smiling down somewhere.
Yeah, Carlos Baker, the first scholar who made a big study of Hemingway, was my senior
biographer,
advisor at Princeton.
All right,
my senior year.
We're going to wrap this up. Go ahead, Dr. McElroy.
I just want to mention that if you've been interested and intrigued by the idea of Benjamin Franklin as a sleuth investigating an accusation of murder against a Quaker friend of his. I am up at Rincon Market at Tucson and 6th Street right now. I'm leaving the studio here, and I'm going up there, and I have the book for sale.
Wonderful. Yeah. And folks can also get a wonderful lunch, a late lunch there as well. So really great to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much,
Bill. On Benjamin Franklin and the Quaker Murders, published by Penmore Press. Michael James has been with us. Michael is the senior editor. And again, Michael, your website would be?
www.penmorepress.com.
Really enjoyed talking with you two gentlemen.
Great pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will also help out Mike on the program. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with another edition of The Buckmaster Show. Until then, on behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Thanks.